welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having an awesome day today. We got some interesting stuff. We're also getting ready down here for another hurricane, which is not abnormal at all for us down in Florida. But how are you doing today, Dad?
Absolutely wonderful, as always. This is going to be a great show. We've got too much information to cover in an hour, so you guys fasten your seatbelts on this one. It's going to be one of those shows. And interestingly, Dave Hodges called me last night. We spoke for about an hour, I guess, and we were talking about Assange and basically how he didn't really release anything that he promised he was going to release. And he said it was interesting. He said he had a two-star general contact him, retired, who still has top intel coming to him. And he said that the people in Ecuador, the president of Ecuador, because, you know, Assange hiding in the Ecuador embassy in London, has been there for 5 years. And the Ecuadorian president was basically told that they're going to have a coup of their country, and he was going to be overthrown and shot and killed if Assange released the information. Isn't that interesting?
That is very interesting.
Now, is that true? I have absolutely no idea. Dave Hodges feels it was true. You know, of course, that circumstantial is coming from one source, not two sources, so you guys take it as with a grain of salt. Do I believe that the Clinton administration with the CIA is willing and able to do that? How many thumbs up do you want to see? You know, I mean, I could just start waving flags at you. So is that a possibility that could actually be done? Absolutely, yes. The lying witch of Benghazi can do anything she wants to do. She's already proven she's basically a psychopath and can do anything with no remorse. So, yes, I believe that's probably a high probability. And, of course, they could have threatened his family, too, like we talked about yesterday. And they could have given him a bunch of money also. And they could have told him he's going to be pardoned. And there could be just a whole list of stuff if he doesn't release any more stuff, get him out of the Ecuadorian embassy after 5 years, and he could go ahead and just go on down the world and continue to live his life the way he wants to live it and have a drop box in case something happened. All of it would be released so they wouldn't kill him. You have to put a certain code in every so often or it would automatically release stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to do this, but the crazy thing about it is, who knows? All I know is that he had the big blast that was going to come out, and basically didn't say much, but he did mention, but of course most people already knew this. I'm going to read this real to you. He said that he did not really do a major blow to the campaign, but he said that basically that they had a bunch of documents that indicate Lafarge paid taxes to ISIS, which was tied in with Clinton. They can operate a cement plant in Syria and even bought oil from ISIS for many years, and Hillary Clinton has been connected to Lafarge for decades, which ties her directly to the terrorists. She sat on the board of directors and conducted legal business dating back to the 1980s. And she is well in tune with the terrorist sponsor, and she has helped build them into what they are today. In fact, Hillary's connection to Lafarge was exploited when the firm was implicated in facilitating a CIA-backed covert arms network to Saddam Hussein. In 2013, Lafarge's executive vice president for operations, Eric Olson, was a featured attendee at the Clinton Global Initiative's annual meeting. Lafarge also frequently donates to Clinton Camp Foundation, including $100,000 in 2015. Lafarge is also listed again as a donor to the Clinton Foundation for the first quarter of 2016. So again, pay for play, baby. That's how she does it. So none of that stuff I don't believe is going to hurt her. There's pretty damning evidence, but it's not going to be a smoking gun taking her back to killing somebody or whatever, just tying her together with terrorist groups, which should be bad enough. But with her, who knows? Unless Trump brings it up, it's not going to make much of a difference. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. And now the even more fiery talk and propaganda towards Russia now. If you saw last night, Army Chief Staff General Mark Milley warned last night that the United States was essentially ready to destroy its enemies in comments that were clearly directed at Russia. He stated, "I want to be clear to those who wish to do us harm," basically implying that the Russian military wants to do us harm now. "The United States military, despite all of our challenges, despite our tempo, despite everything we are doing, we will stop you and we will beat you harder than you've ever been beaten before. Make no mistake about it." The general went on to warn that Russia specifically and other countries had taken advantage of the U.S. being focused on the war on terror, like the United States is actually doing something about the war on terror. We're not actually providing for it and feeding it and fueling it. The Juan Miley cautioned and also said the next major conflict would be highly lethal, unlike anything our Army has experienced, at least since World War II, and would involve fighting in highly populated urban areas. Sound like he's trying to tell us something there. He went on to say, Make no mistake about it. We can now and we will retain the capability to rapidly deploy, and we will destroy any enemy anywhere, anytime. And he made it clear who he was talking about when he went on to quote a senior Russian official who vowed Russia can now fight a conventional war in Europe and win. The comments come amidst rising terror between the two superpowers. 40 million Russians from all sectors of government are currently taking part in a nationwide emergency drill that will war game evacuation procedures during a national crisis. Last week as well, Russian officials revealed that huge underground nuclear bunkers have been built to provide shelter for the city's 12 million people and their population and their home capital over there. So this is interesting now that we basically are in trying to incite a war with Russia, intentionally trying to provoke them. And it's not something that I wish. I really hope it doesn't escalate to that. But it seems to me that that will be one of the cards that the globalists play if, in the event, they cannot get what they want done with Clinton, or if something else happens that's outside of their control, they'll simply take us to war. Remember, Gerald Celente has talked about this along with numerous other people. Every time something starts to happen with the economy, every time something happens that they can't control, in every instance, they always take us to war. That's the easiest way to make everybody forget about what's going on and push the blame onto something else. The economy's breaking down because we're in war. We need to take more money from the Federal Reserve in interest because we need to feed the military-industrial complex because we're at war. We need to fight terror because we're at war. That's the facade they always use to blind the people into thinking what's going on is not under their control. It's only because of the war. So I thought that was interesting to have this general now is spouting off essentially that he basically wants to go out and nuke Russia is basically what he was saying.
Well, it won't be nukes. It's, you know, the space-based weapons platform systems are way beyond nukes. But here's the problem, though. This is from the Daily Mail. Satellites are suffering mystery blackouts. Thunderstorms on the edge of space may be causing the loss of GPS signals. Now, the thunderstorms on the edge of space were because the military is intentionally putting metallic ions into the ionosphere, you know, with their chemtrails, and to increase the amount of electrical activity in the atmosphere. But it also causes these giant storms, apparently, to occur on the edge of space. The European Space Agency launched its three swarm satellites in 2013. They have suffered regular GPS blackouts as they pass over the equator. Scientists have traced the blackouts to thunderstorms in the ionosphere. How nutty is that? The findings could help develop more reliable GPS systems in the future. When they were put into orbit to measure the Earth's invisible magnetic field, but a cluster of specific scientific satellites have been suffering mysterious blackouts as they circle the planet. Scientists were left puzzled about why these satellites were launched by the European Space Agency, have regularly lost their navigation signal passing over the equator above the Atlantic Ocean. So this space-based warfare, the fact that they're even releasing this information about these satellites going dark like this, is letting you know that they're doing all kinds of electronic warfare in the sky, and that's the first thing that's going to be attacked, Austin, in the event of a war, is this 25,000 satellites that are flying around the planet, providing us GPS coordinates, telecommunications, etc., will be probably taken down as quickly as possible because our space-based weapon platforms will simply start taking aim at all of these satellites one by one to put us into a blackout state. And when that happens, if all those satellites went out, guys, you know, you wouldn't be calling much overseas anymore. You wouldn't be doing much with the internet overseas anymore. All of this stuff is this global interconnectivity that we have now is all based on satellites. And that's how the entire system works. And so if it goes down, it just goes down for everybody. What do you think, son?
No, you're absolutely right. And that would be one of the key ways to prevent communication from other countries. Along with that, it would be able to allow the United States or any other country by itself to completely control the narrative of what's going on overseas. That way they could simply tell us what's happening. Oh, Russia's attacking us right now. They're inciting a war. We have to start a war immediately. Blah, 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 and there's no way we could find really anything other words because there would essentially, like you said, there'd be no way to really get contact or communication from those other countries to see what's really going on in the media.
Well, the whole thing is just, you know, there's something else going on with all of this, you know, and I personally, here's what you got to do. And, you know, guys, I know every time you say, well, Ted, it can't always be the bankers. Guys, it's always the bankers. If you dig under the rock deep enough, if you dig under the rock deep enough and you go down far enough, it's always going to be about the money. It's always going to be about fraud. It's always going to be about greed. Jesus called it out. The love of money is the root of all evil. There's nothing wrong with money. You have to use it to pay the bills. But when you love it and you're consumed with avarice and with greed, like these bankers are, then what ends up, it's like that movie, you know, Scrooge, the one with George C. Scott, I forgot what it's called, Christmas Carol by Dickens. He was completely and totally consumed with greed until he had his three angels visiting. And see, guys, that's the thing. These guys are really like that. They're consumed by their god, Lucifer, and the greed has completely enveloped these guys. Now, the Rothschild's mother said, if there's a war, it's because my son wants it to be a war. If there's not a war, it's because my son doesn't want a war. That's how they do it. They basically funded World War I. They funded our Civil War. They funded World War II. They precipitated all of these wars. And that's what Gerald Celente said, Austin and I've said, and Steve Quayle has said, and Dave Hodges has said, and we've all said it, Hagman has said it. When they don't know what else to do, when they can't cover their tracks with anything else, they kill a bunch of people, they take us to war, then everybody forgets about all the incidentals and things that they've done. Everybody wants just some level of normalcy back, and that's where they take you. And that's what they always do. Then it gets so bad that we're willing to accept anything and allow them to do anything they want again for another 40 or 50 or 100 years. And that's what they do. It's always the banking community running through Lucifer, running through the CIA, running through the Exchange Stability Fund. It's always about the money. And that's the sad part about it, son, because you hate sounding like that, but it's the truth. That's just how these guys think. You know, and that's what was so funny with me with that wicked witch when she was debating Trump. She talked about, well, how much money did you give away to nonprofits? And I'm like, well, the Clinton Foundation gave away a couple percent away. They didn't even give the money to Haiti that went to them when Bill Clinton got on TV begging for all the money for Haiti, and they brought it over $1 billion. And she said, and Trump tossed her a softball like that, and she didn't even comment back on it. And then they put people in the audience and say, oh, we've got an architecture who's never paid for doing this. Well, Trump says, well, maybe he didn't do a good job. Maybe he didn't do it right. Maybe that's why he didn't get paid. Doesn't make a difference. That's not how she sees it, because she's never run a business. She's never balanced a payroll. She's never balanced a balance sheet. She doesn't know what a profit and loss statement is. She doesn't understand any of that stuff, like the rest of us out here in business trying to figure out what all these crazy tax codes are, trying to figure out how to do it right, even trying to do it right sometimes. You got to get 14 different people with 14 different opinions, and you have to do it all different ways to try to get it right, maybe somewhere down the middle. It's absolutely nuts. And that's what Trump wants to get rid of. They don't want to do that. It's all part of manipulation. On the precipice of World War III, Russia prepares for war on multiple fronts. An article by Teresa Monroe Hamilton. It just kind of covers what you just said a minute ago, Austin. But it says one thing, it starts out, and it says this. Things are quickly spiraling out of control for the U.S. and the U.S.-controlled central bank. The yuan has basically become the reserve currency of the world now through China. Russia will now head the UN Security Council, and my favorite, Obama has handed the internet to foreign entities comprised of our enemies, the Russians, the Chinese, and the Iranians. But in the last couple of days, they've really been interesting, and not in a good way. It all revolves around Russia, pretty much, and their moves toward World War III. We have been in the beginning phases of a war for a number of years, that's true. The opening salvos have taken form of intrusive cyber attacks, but a hot war is coming. I no longer have any doubt of it whatsoever. Now, you know, guys, we've talked about this, we've talked about this, and we've talked about this. It's just part of what's happening right now, guys. And I'm going to say something to you, please. And I've told you this a few weeks ago, especially now before this election. You need to store up some food. If you don't get food from us at healthmasters.com, I'm not going to fuss at you about that. That's okay. I don't care. I just want you to get food, right? We have food that doesn't have any pork in it, doesn't have any soy in it, no GMOs in it. But if you don't want to do that and you just want to get some canned beans or canned food or whatever at the grocery store, just stock it up. If nothing happens in the next 8 or 9 months, if you spend a couple $100 on food, then just give that away or eat that food. Make sure it's organic if you're going to eat it. And to your friends or to your family or to the church or whatever. Another article. Brexit is just the start of a worldwide revolution against globalism, warns the International Monetary Fund, which controls globalism, by the way, one of the principal components of the Rothschild Bank, the IMF. It's also right up there with the Bank of International Settlements out of Basel, Switzerland. The International Monetary Fund believes a revolt could lower living standards. Here we go. Ongoing weak growth is breeding negative economic and political forces. Okay. IMF slashed the 2017 growth forecast for the UK in half since pre-Brexit. World leaders urged to work with poorer countries to encourage growth. Why? We've got our own problems we're trying to deal with. Brexit could be the start of a worldwide revolt that threatens to lower living standards, experts have warned. The internet, this is not true, by the way. The International Monetary Fund has updated its global economic output. An ongoing weak economy is basically breeding a negative economy. So guys, they're going to say all of this stuff because these guys are in their death throes. This is why Deagle, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, actually did a projection because of the country, our United States, and how much we're going to lose as far as the population. Do you remember that, Austin?
Yeah, oh yeah.
We're going to go down to like, what, we're going to lose more than three quarters of the population. And the sad part about this is they're basically openly telling us that the only way they can do that is through a giant war with nukes or with biologicals. Because remember, the boys at Fort Detrick, through their Kenema laboratories and all the stuff they were doing over Sierra Leone, with the stuff they were doing with Ebola just a few years ago, in addition to that with the flu, they've got all of these advanced protocols now with germ warfare. And they could take one of these chemtrail planes one day and spray this garbage on us, you know, from 10,000 feet or whatever they wanted to do it from, whatever the viable amount would be for it to fall down and not get hit by UV light, and just soak down the population in a major metropolitan area and do it simultaneously all over the world, and they could literally reduce the population of the planet by three quarters within a couple of years just from that, just from the massive amount of die-off from the biologicals. Now, think about that for a second. You know, and I've talked to people about this before because they were saying, well, if all these people start dying, that's a problem. They all die, reduces the population. But what do you do with the bodies? What happens if you have neighbors all over the neighborhood that are walking out their front doors or in their houses and they're dying in their homes or dying in their front yards? If you have, let's say, 1,000 people die, how do you move that many bodies? How do you dig that many graves? Unless you have heavy equipment with what the Germans had to do with Dresden when, you know, 500,000 died that night in Dresden when it was bombed, they had to come in with bulldozers and dig these massive, massive graves. And by the way, the videos that you watch from the concentration camps, supposedly, of these bodies being buried in these mass graves, that was not from the concentration camps. Those were the bodies that were from Dresden. The majority of the bodies that died in the concentration camps were cremated. They were burned. The people in these giant pictures, these stacks and stacks of body, that was Dresden, or in Germany you would say Dresden. And so that's what happened. When you have 500,000 people die, if you don't have heavy equipment and you can't bury and do mass graves, and plus think about this, the water table in a lot of areas are very, very high. If you bury bodies in the water table and it gets into the water, it gets into the aquifer, there's no telling what type of diseases that'll be spread. I mean, the other day we were pouring some concrete here in the backyard, and the guy dug down a little bit to pull some grass back. He dug down 3 feet and we hit water. It's groundwater, 3 feet down. You also saw it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay? 3 feet down, we got groundwater. Well, if you bury a body 6 feet, how are you going to people supposed to keep it out of the groundwater? And so then all that stuff gets into the wells, it gets into decapitation. You have cholera, you have all these different diseases that happen from that. And guys, it's a major, major problem. And, you know, when you start having a lot of people dying from biologicals, in the old days, back in the bubonic plague, they had death carts that would come out. And they would walk through, they would come to the streets, on the cobblestone streets in Europe, and they would have a guy driving it, and they would be yelling, bring out your dead, bring out your dead, bring out your dead. And the people would drag these bodies down every day from upstairs, and they would throw them into the death carts and put them in mass graves outside of the cities, because they had no place to put the bodies in the corpses. And then they'd throw them in the grave, and they'd, you know, throw some lime on them just to try to make them deteriorate more quickly. That's exactly what happened to Mozart. Mozart was buried in a mass grave, but it wasn't because of the bubonic plague. But the crazy thing about all of this stuff, guys, is this. You know, you got to be prepared. Get fresh water. You know, get food. Have some type of outhouse facility that you use the bathroom. Have enough toilet paper. All of this stuff to get you over the hump. Just like Angela Merkel warned the German people, be prepared for something that could last a few weeks. Because quite frankly, if we start nuking each other, Austin, it's not going to take a few years. It's going to take a few hours for that mess to happen. And so we have to be prepared if we happen to be on the backside of that and we're still alive. What's your next story, son?
Well, no, you're absolutely right on that. And one thing I wanted to add on there, too, is making sure you have good distillation system, making sure you have good water filtration system, and also, too, always have a plan C as far as backup with some bottled water. I don't prefer bottled water because of the BPA and the plastic. However, a lot of times it may have to do in an emergency, and you can always use it as a backup to shower or clean with. A lot of people don't ever think about that, but, you know, after having power outages here in Florida numerous times, sometimes after a week or so of not having a shower, you kind of just want to be able to rinse off with something. So that's always a really, really important aspect, is having clean water. And another thing, too, is that people always talk about negatively about basically the oven, supposedly, is the terms they always use, in the concentration camps. Understand, guys, the main reason why they were cremating these bodies in those ovens was because they didn't have the manpower to dig the giant holes that Dad was just talking about, or the equipment to dig those holes to bury a lot of those bodies. It was much more efficient, and it was also much cleaner as far as being sanitary, not having to deal with any type of diseases or plague buildup from mass graves whenever you basically cremated dead bodies that were there. So that's just something, a lot of people always bring that up, but quite frankly, that is the most effective way to get rid of bodies that basically have died for whatever reason, is cremation.
Well, Austin, you saw in Arizona just a few years ago outside of Phoenix, they had all those casket liners.
Yep.
They had buried, they hold 6 to 8 bodies apiece, and they'd put the lids on them, and they covered them back up in a giant grave, a giant unmarked grave that hasn't even been used. But
yeah.
The body, all the casket liners were sitting right beside each other, and they could hold it to 6 bodies per casket liner, and they basically were, they buried them. They covered them up. And so that now they can re-pull those things up anytime they want, just start pulling the lids off. They're only buried a few feet down, and they can start putting massive amounts of bodies and casualties inside of those things. The government has been preparing for this for a long time. That's why we've had all these giant caskets and coffins and casket liners and all these things that they've been storing up all outside of Atlanta and everywhere else, and getting prepared for the FEMA camps and the giant graves. And see, guys, it's just part of what they're doing. It's not because, you know, we haven't warned you, and it's not because there's anything we can do about it. All we can do is tell you what's coming. I told you guys at the beginning of the year when we had Gerald Celente on, and Gerald said right on our show that what's going to happen is they're going to take us to war. They always take us to war because they got to cover their crap up, is what they got to do. You know, they're like a cat. They're like a giant cat that walks around pooping everywhere and then digging a hole and covering it up. That's how they act. They don't want you to see what they've done and how badly they've screwed the population of the United States. They don't want you to see that. They don't want you to see how they've come in and they've extracted the wealth from this country, how they've put us in this giant debt bondage slavery. They don't care. Remember, the Chinese central bank is owned by the Rothschilds. Now they're saying in this article that basically the yuan, the Chinese currency, has taken over as the reserve currency of the planet. It's still a Rothschild bank. Now it's their turn to have their wealth extracted by the Rothschild cartel. Same thing we talked about earlier this week, or last week, with Europe, Germany and Deutsche Bank. Deutsche Bank is going under because they want to destroy Germany because it's the economic powerhouse of Europe, and it maintains a surplus, and so it has no debt. The country doesn't, unless they're borrowing money for the European Union, trying to bail out Greece or Italy or one of these other countries. They don't have any massive debt load like we have in the United States, because they put out so much stuff, they get so much more money back in, there's not a negative cash flow based on a negative trade deficit. So they have to try to enslave everybody to the best of their ability. Moscow, by the way, has now delivered S-300 missile systems to Syria for defense of Russian naval bases. This is from Russia Today. A battery of Russian S-300 air defense missile launchers. By the way, Austin and I saw these S-300 air defense missile launchers back in the 90s when we actually went to Europe, and we were on a cruise ship, and we went to St. Petersburg, and we actually went to the artillery museum, which had these missile launchers right there. They're pretty interesting things. They're pretty big, actually, but they're easily transported. They've been transported to Syria. Russia Defense Ministry said in a statement, its sole purpose is to defend a Russian naval base and warships, the ministry added. The information about the S-300's deployment was confirmed by ministry spokesperson Igor Kozhinov. He said it's unclear why the deployment of the missile system has created such a fuss in the West. He said the S-300 is a purely defensive system and poses no threat. You recall that before the deployment of the S-300, Russia had delivered 4 air missile defense systems to Syria. The statement comes after a report by Fox News that the Russian S-300 was deployed to Syria. Okay, now, I'm going to stop here for a second. Fox News is starting to really, really, really suck. The last couple of months since their head guy was thrown out, they're basically becoming another liberal news rag of the Rothschild marketing media cartel.
Yeah,
I mean, I tried to watch it the other day. I was getting my hair cut down here at the barbershop. And the barbershop is like this. The guy's funny. He's from Puerto Rico. Great guy. Or he's from the Dominican Republic. Great guy. Does a great haircut. But they're all pretty liberal in there. They're always running CNN. So he was there by himself. He was closing up. I get my haircut. I said, you know, Carlos, can I go ahead and change this thing to Fox? I can't deal with this. I can't listen to any more CNN. I can't deal with this. Because all they were doing was playing the Saturday Night Live spoof about Trump. And so he said, sure, go ahead. So I flipped it back on Fox. It was just as bad, just as anti-Trump as CNN was. Just as bad. And I thought to myself, you've got to be kidding me. We no longer have the opposing media that Trump was allowed, that we had from Fox. We saw that when that bimbo Megyn Kelly started in on Trump on the very first debate last year, and how she put him down and tried to basically destroy him in front of the American population, but he still won. Now, the nuttiest thing about all this is, I don't know if Megyn Kelly has some type of, you know, fixation on him. Maybe she's in love with the guy. I don't know. But she can't stop talking about him, and it's really kind of weird how she always fixates on Trump. Unless she's been told if she wants her career to get higher and bigger and higher and better, she needs to go ahead and keep hammering Trump, which is absolutely ridiculous to me. By the way, Pakistan is now boosting military ties to Russia amid tensions in Kashmir. The UK stock market has hit simultaneously highs for the first time since 1999, which I don't get that. And Hurricane Matthew has made a slam dunk in Haiti. Hundreds of thousands of homes apparently have been destroyed there. 6,400 people have been evacuated to shelters. Of course, the Clinton Foundation is not going to give any of the money they took in from that, because I'm sure it's been paid back to other whatever, bribes, more bribes. So guys, David Crank has a church. He has a huge missionary outreach in Haiti. And the church name is Faith Church St. Louis. Faith Church St. Louis. If you guys could go to that website, and David Crank's the head senior pastor. He's a good friend of mine. He's the one who knows Trump that I've told you about. Donate $5, $10. I'm going to give some money today to the Haiti Relief Fund. You know, $5 or $10 are going to make, if all of our listeners helped Haiti, $5 or $10, we could raise a bunch of money. Give them $100. Give them $1,000 if you got it. But these guys, they didn't ask to be born in Haiti. I mean, how awful would it be if you got born in Haiti and you couldn't get out? Okay. I'm not even being facetious, Austin. I know it sounds funny, but how bad would your life suck, excuse my language, if you got born in Haiti and you got down there and they got voodoo and witchcraft and nutbags and witch doctors and mudslides and hurricanes and the Clintons? Let's not forget the Clintons. Their life wasn't bad enough until the Clintons showed up with earthquakes and everything else. And now there's really no chance for these people down there, for the vast majority of the population, to ever get out of that just insane poverty they're in. So just the fact that we're still in this country, we're still on the air, and we have the opportunity to try to at least earn a living and be prosperous in the United States and not be in Haiti. I mean, if I had to pick some of the worst places in the world, Haiti would be right at the top, right? So guys, do me a favor. Give these guys $5, $10, $20. I mean, you guys are always giving money to people on the street when they're begging for cash. Just go put $5 or $10 or $100 or $1,000 on your credit card. Faith Church St. Louis. I know David Crank. If you give him the money, it's going straight to Haiti. He's got an orphanage, or not an orphanage, but a whole relief program down there in Haiti. Monsanto Crimes Against Humanity Tribunal officially begins October the 14th in Hague, Netherlands. Well, good job for The Hague. The aim of the tribunal is to give legal opinion on the environmental and health damage caused by the multinational conglomerate Monsanto. So I really hope they can get that figured out. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, speaking of Monsanto, now that Bayer owns them, they're, because of how much flack that pretty much everybody associates Monsanto with, they're completely considering changing the name once the acquisition is processed successfully. They said the German drug and crop chemical manufacturer is most widely known for their pharmaceutical endeavors, and however, changing the Monsanto name to something a little more palatable would indeed be in their best interest. Monsanto has been tied to Agent Orange, along with the glyphosate now that people are all starting to learn about. This Is Money reported that in an interview after the merger was announced, the chief executive of Monsanto, Hugh Grant, said that he was open to a potential name change. He stated the key is less about the name and more about the products developed. Yeah, whatever. They want to get rid of that name because Monsanto now is basically the giant devil name throughout the world. You say Monsanto and everybody spits on the floor. Nobody even wants to be associated with that company anymore. And that's the truth, guys. There's very few people that I know. If you know about Monsanto and you know what they are, it's probably negative. That's it. There's really not many positives they do. They try and spin everything they do to make it on a positive light. Their genetic engineering and their twisting and manipulation of the food genes and everything else they do now. But the truth, when it comes down to it, they're absolutely nothing but globalist shills and trying to reduce the population and poison the entire world population so much now that the FDA now, who has started quietly starting to test U.S. foods for glyphosate now, has found residue, massive amounts of residue, in the variety of oat products, including plain and flavored oat cereals for babies as well. according to an information obtained by consumer watchdog group U.S. Right to Know, this stuff is like the plague now. They've used it so much on so many different crops, on so much wheat pre-harvest now. Almost everything is coming back testing extremely positive for glyphosate. The testing done by the FDA showed residue of the pesticide glyphosate in different types of infant oat cereal, including banana strawberry, banana-flavored varieties. It's also detected in cinnamon spice oatmeal, maple brown oatmeal, instant oatmeal, peach and cream oatmeal. And the same results shared, the levels range from several different organic oat products in the 1.6 part per million as well. Glyphosate, which is the key ingredient in Monsanto's Round herbicide, is the most widely used weed killer in the world. The results follow the revelation that the FDA has also found glyphosate in samples of U.S. honey, which we talked about before, including samples that showed glyphosate residue levels doubling the legally allowed limit in the European Union. This stuff now has gotten completely out of control, hence why Bayer wants to change the name Monsanto to something more palatable that people aren't going to spit every time they hear. This stuff is like the plague. It's infected almost every aspect of food. Now, like I said before, they've even found it in organic oats, in bees and honey and all this stuff now, guys. That's why it's so important to do the best you can to eat as clean as you can. Granted, obviously, like I just said, some organic food now is still being compromised with glyphosate, but when it comes down to it, you've got to do the best you can and eating the best you can, because this stuff is absolutely toxic to every aspect of your body, guys.
Well, it causes cancer. It has like a dozen types of cancers that it causes. That
oh, yeah.
That they knew back in the 70s, and they had it sealed in their own internal memos and records, and it was released to the Freedom of Information Act. And I did a whole show on it. I mean, all these different ovarian cancers and breast cancers, brain cancers, and all these different types of cancers. I'm not sure if it was exactly those three cancers, but those are the types of things that it's been involved in. And it's a systemic poison. I mean, and what it does, it really interferes with your gut and the bacteria in your gut as far as producing certain nutrients and chemical pathways in your gut. And when it does that, it prevents the body from manufacturing specific nutrients that the body needs, and so therefore it causes you to go into a massive age and health deterioration. Another article: Obama warned to diffuse tensions with Russia. Unintended consequences likely to be catastrophic. This is from Zero Hedge. A group of U.S. intelligence officials is warning the Gay Canyon to diffuse growing tensions with Russia over Syria by reining in the demonization of President Putin and asserting White House civilian control over the Pentagon, which I thought we did, but we don't. We, the veteran intelligent professionals for sanity, write to alert you, as we did President George W. Bush, the other blithering idiot, 6 weeks before the attack on Iraq, that the consequences of limiting your circle to a small advisors, relatively inexperienced cadre with dubious record for your wisdom can prove disastrous, which is to do with Bush. Our concern this time is in regard to Syria. We are hoping that your president's daily brief tomorrow will give appropriate attention to Saturday's warning by Russia's foreign minister spokesperson, Zakharova. If the U.S. launches a direct aggression against Damascus and the Syrian army, it would cause a terrible tectonic shift, not only in the country, but the entire region, speaking on Russia TV. She warned of those whose logic is to do what we need to do is diplomacy. When there is power and methods of resolving a problem by power, we already know this logic. There is nothing new about it. It usually ends up with one thing: full-scale war. Here's another interesting article from Zero Hedge. DOJ is now dropping charges against the arms dealer who was being charged for dealing arms, who threatened to expose Hillary arming Islamic extremists. Politico reported the Obama administration is moving to dismiss charges against an arms dealer who was going to expose Hillary. You know, guys, it's one of these things. It just gets so nauseating when you start talking about this stuff with these guys, because it's like, remember, Hillary is the pawn. She's the sock puppet for Lucifer through the Rothschild boys. She's the sock puppet of the international bankers. I mean, it's like that movie like we talked about earlier, the, you know, Weekend with Bernie's or whatever, the guy's a dead corpse running around, they're propping him up everywhere. She's like a sock puppet that Lucifer and the Rothschild boys have shoved their hand up their backside and making her move and talk. Every time you get involved with anything, it's this international banking cartel, and it's Hillary Clinton now, involving herself in her email scandal and her drop boxes and all of this intel they've been spreading all over the planet and all of the money they've been bringing in to do who knows what with their black ops budgets or their extremely, you know, lavish lifestyles. I mean, good grief. What do you think, Austin?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's what's going on here. And if I talk again about that one movie, Lord of War, when it talks about the arms dealers and how you see at the end of the movie how he's completely released and not charged at all, because this is what the government does. They fund, protect, and support a lot of these independent arm dealers because they want them to be able to do it and have a buffer so the U.S. government does not get caught for it. Because obviously, when the U.S. government engages in arms trafficking like it did directly with Fast and Furious with the good old ATF, the unconstitutional government agency, ATF, they got completely busted for it. However, nobody got in any type of significant trouble. There was a ton of flack via the underground media from all the stuff that was involved in that. And then we found out more and more and more that they were involved in not just trafficking the weapons down the Mexican drug cartel. That was just a tiny tip of the iceberg. They're actually doing that on a much larger scale, moving thousands and thousands and thousands of light and heavy weapons, including 50 caliber sniper rifles, through the Mexican cartel to be transferred overseas over to Somalia and other terrorist countries in the Middle East. So this was systemic throughout everything, and the U.S. Department knew about this. The ATF was directly involved in it, and now this guy's coming out, and I got to give him kudos. You know, they're going to arrest him for this, and he goes, okay, you guys want to play this game with me? I'm going to give you all the files that I have that shows Hillary's directly tied to me trafficking arms. You guys want to bust me on this? I'm going to try and pull everybody down. And, of course, now they've dropped all charges, dismissed all charges, just like they did in that movie, Lord of War. That's why I thought it was funny you brought that up, but it doesn't surprise me at all. Because the government has to do everything they can to cover their butt. And when somebody comes out like that, that they've been directly working with an unbelievably illegal activity, like running heavy weapons to third world countries, I mean, the whole aspect is so hypocritical to me, guys. And this is just, I mean, it's almost funny, because the only way I can look at it is in a humorous light, because it's so horrific, I can't look at it any other way, is that they're sitting here so concerned about our little semi-automatic 30-round magazine, AR-15s, yet they will literally traffic tens of thousands of belt-fed heavy weapons, including 50 cals, M240s, all kinds of crazy stuff over there that are just really, really, really aggressive weaponry, and it's business as usual, no big deal. We send them a pallet of grenades, no big deal. We airdrop orders to ISIS, no big deal. But yet, any individual in the United States that wants to exercise his right to owning a semi-automatic AR-15, he needs to be a terrorist. He needs to have his weapons stripped from him. There's no reason to even own something like that. So it's just interesting to me and so hypocritical how they engage in one activity to start a war and to basically destabilize a country so they can come in, take over all the assets and all the natural resources, and then put in their own central bank so they can control that country for the rest of its life, but they don't want us having a semi-automatic AR-15. It's just lunacy to me, Dad.
Well, I don't even know what to say. Everything you said was just dead on. I mean, but you're correct. I mean, they're doing rocket grenade launchers. Everybody needs one of those.
Yeah.
I mean, are you joking me? It's all weapons of war. An AR-15, don't get me wrong, it's a good weapon, but it's an antiquated weapon. It was used in the Vietnam War back in the 60s. I mean, it's a good weapon, but it jams a little bit too much. You have to kind of work it a little bit so it doesn't jam. The Kalashnikov is a better weapon as far as reliability. And it's just simple to use. And of course, you know, Obama has banned the importation of Kalashnikovs into the United States. Now they can't even be sold here anymore new. They can't be imported any longer. So, I mean, if there's still an inventory, I'm sure they could be sold, but they can't be brought back in anymore because that was another good trade embargo against Russia, sort of that last year. So, I mean, it's just nutty to me that all of this stuff is okay for them to give to terrorists and other people who are trying to kill everybody around the planet, including us, but it's not okay for their own citizens to own it. But of course, again, it's all about overthrowing the government. By the way, I got kind of nauseous this morning. I was watching a video that has surfaced from the 80s on President, the gay boy in the White House. And what happened is, it was kind of interesting because it was Obama on race, and his quotes were basically like, I'm saddened that whites are still superior, things could explode, and basically dealing with white privilege. And it was showed the true feelings of Barack Obama. And the footage filmed and narrated by Obama's sister's Alma shows the president on his first trip to Kenya as a young man in his 20s. Of course, it may not have been his first trip. He was born there, correct? But the one he could remember. Michelle Obama also accompanied her husband on the trip, crowdfunding platform.
WeSearch provided the video exclusively to InfoWars, which you can see it there. Obama says in the film, "I'm deeply saddened by a sense that whites are still superior in this country. In some sense, that if you sit in a restaurant, they're served before a Kenyan is served." Okay, if you go through customs, a white person is going to have an easier time going through customs. I guess he's talking about getting out of Kenya. Obama also warns that things could explode at any point as a result of the resentment that black Kenyans have towards the white people. Well, quite frankly, I've been in Kenya. I've walked all over Nairobi, right? It's like there's like one white person for every 500 black people there. I mean, if you ever want to be in a situation where you are the ultimate tiny minority, that's the place to go. At one point in the movie, Obama says he has a lot of stake in building a strong black country in Kenya. Elsewhere, the footage shows white and Asian tourists visiting poor Kenyan villages, a site that offends Obama. He refused to join them on the tour, according to his sister. Obama's 1990 comments are fascinating given the fact that his presidency has been tainted by some of the worst race relations in America for decades, fueled by police shootings and riots in Ferguson, Baltimore, and Charlotte. The film is full of insights into Barack Obama's really whacked out psychology and worldview, especially with regards to the way he sees his family in Kenya and black and white race relations, said researcher Chuck Johnson, adding, "How much of a black nationalist do you think Obama is? What do you think he thinks, what he really thinks of white people?" So I'll be honest with you, if you want to watch that, go ahead. I got through about 30 seconds of his pontificating, and I thought to myself, you know what, smoking cigarettes one after another, chain smoking, and I thought to myself, you know what, I really dislike him and the Clintons enough that I've got to cover the TV set when Hillary's debating Trump. And you, I mean, what I mean by that is I have to hold my hand up over my face so I'd have to look at her. Okay? Then I got to the point I couldn't even hear her, and I had to mute what she was saying. So here I am watching TV. My wife's laughing at me. I've got my hand in front of my face blocking a Hillary so I don't have to see her, muting her every time she opens her mouth. And then when Trump would talk, I'd still have to hold my hand up if they were showing Hillary because I couldn't look at her. Now, that's how I feel about these people, because these people have done everything they can through Cloward and Piven and through socialism and through fascism and through all the things that they've done through just basically just pure fraud to overtake the United States and destroy us. And guys, if you don't see that, I can't make it any more clear than that, because it's just that obvious. I had lunch today with an athletic director from one of the major universities in the area, and he was telling me, he goes, "I cannot believe that so many Christians are voting for Hillary Clinton." He goes, "I don't even know what to say that they can't see what she is, but it doesn't make any difference. They know what she is, they know who she is, they know the lying, it's just they don't like Trump for various reasons, therefore they're not going to vote for him." Now, here's the thing. I'm going to say one more thing. The Bible says where there is jealousy and envy, there is every evil work. Now, guys, listen to me. I am really happy for Donald Trump that he's a billionaire. I'm really happy for him that his dad gave him $10 million to start with. Now, I have no idea what that much money looks like. I got that, okay? That's a lot of cash. I mean, I wouldn't know what it stacked, $10 million stacked up in a room would look like. I have no idea, okay? But he was given that. I don't resent him for that. I don't resent his father for that. I don't resent the fact that his children are so wealthy and doing so well. I've got great kids myself. I don't care about all of that stuff. I'm happy he's being blessed. But the Bible says where there is jealousy and envy, there is every evil work. So many people don't like Trump for one reason only. He's rich. And they're pissed off at him because he's rich. Excuse my language. And they're angry at the guy who's a billionaire wanting to run for office because he's got stuff they don't have. And they're mad about his plane. They're mad about his homes. They're mad about everything. So they don't want to vote for him because they've got a poverty mindset. Now, guys, that's not of God. If one of my friends is blessed and they bought a plane, I would be so happy for them. If one of my friends is blessed and they got a settlement, you know, for their retirement and they got a bunch of money from the state or whatever, I'd be so happy for them. If one of my friends gets a job that they really, really want, they get a raise, I am so happy for them. If somebody buys a new car, as long as they got a good deal on it, I am so happy for them. I really am. I really believe that way. And Zig Ziglar said back in the 90s, back in the 80s when I was listening to him all the time, I was on the seminar circuit with him in the 90s. I used to listen to Ziglar all the time, back on audio cassette tape. That's how long this is. And I remember Zig said that basically they did a study of like 100 self-made millionaires. They didn't inherit the money, and they weren't trust fund babies. They had created the wealth themselves. And they analyzed them, and they found that they came from every walk, every talk, everything, every race, every level of education. Some of them had dropped out of school in kindergarten and had to go to work in cotton fields. Others had gotten PhDs and were medical doctors. And others were basically just really hard people that had graduated away from high school, but they were all multi-millionaires. This is back in the 80s. And he said there was only one common thread that ran through all of them, through every single person who was a self-made multimillionaire, had one commonality. And that commonality was simply this. They were good finders. They found something good to say about everybody they were involved with, and they were happy, and they were encouraging to people where they were successful. Guys, we have to be that way. We can't allow ourselves to be angry because Trump's a billionaire, because he's got a really good-looking wife and really great kids. We can't get mad about that. And Christians, if you're going to be that petty and you're not going to be a good finder and you're going to have jealousy and envy, there's going to be every evil work in your life. Now, guys, let me say one other thing to you, and this is so important. The Bible also says that if you return evil for good, that evil will never leave your house. Trump's not done anything to you. He's not done anything to you. And I'm here to warn everybody listening today, if you're voting for a witch, a literal satanic witch, because you're mad because Trump's done something you don't like, and you'd rather compromise what you're doing and vote for this evil, for this Sabbatean witch to come into the White House, somebody who's lied and cheated and is a grifter her whole life, whose husband has bragged about sleeping with over 2,000 women, and you want to put this whacked out nightmare pair back in the White House because you've got a bone to pick with Trump that you've never even met. Guys, listen to me. I pray for you right now, and I know it's not my listeners, if these are people that are tuning in right now wondering who this crazy Ted Brewer guy is, but here's what I'm praying for you right now, that that judgment doesn't come upon you and your house, because if you return evil for good, evil will never leave your house. And guys, it's so important that if somebody doesn't do you wrong, you got to treat them with love. You can't go after them if they've been kind to you. I've had that happen to me so many times, that somebody will do me wrong after I've been kind to them and treated them with love and respect, and that term comes back on them, and they end up dying, or horrible things happen to them, or their life gets wrecked. I mean, awful kind of things happen, because the Word of God is not going to be broken. It is not going to come back void. A man is going to sow and reap. He's going to reap what he sows. And he's also going to, by the way, you can flip it around the other way, he's also going to sow what he reaps. Now, let me explain to you what that means. If you sow grain, if you sow corn, you're going to get corn. You got to re-sow that again. So you get caught up in that spiral. Your life's going to go places where you don't want to go. You're going to be doing things you don't want to do. You're going to be hanging out with people you don't want to hang out with. You're going to be saying things you don't want to say. And you're going to live your life in regret. And you never want to be, I wish I would have, or I should have, or I could have. I wish I never would have done that. I wish I should have done this. That's not where you want to be. Now, I'm not telling you that Donald Trump is perfect. There's a lot of things that I wish he'd stop doing, especially his stupid Twitter feed. I wish he'd keep his mouth shut. I mean, I've got that. But the point is this. You've got to choose between somebody who is a nationalist, who wants the best for the United States and wants to restore jobs, or you want to put a globalist in the power who is a witch, a physical witch, a real witch, okay? A person who went to her coven every 6 weeks in L.A. County back in the 90s when she was in the White House via private jet. A witch. Now, I'm not talking about metaphorically, you know, flipping around a B word on the W. I'm not doing that. I'm talking witch, okay? If you want that in the White House and you claim to be a Christian, guys, you got to do some more research. You got to figure this thing out. She wants to murder babies. She wants to kill people. She wants GMOs. She wants to support glyphosate. She wants to support the Black Act, the Dark Act, as far as not allowing us to know what we're eating. She's against everything we believe in as Christians. And so you're mad because Trump has more stuff than you do? He's got more stuff than me. He's got more stuff than everybody. I know. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter. Okay? It's just he's willing to tell the truth. And gosh, I hope he gets some better counseling on this next debate, Austin. Anyhow, that's my little rant for the day. What do you think about all that?
No, you're absolutely right. That's well said. Too many times I've seen people that end up being successful or end up, you know, getting an opportunity, and they take advantage of it, and they do really well with it, and then everybody around them gets really irritated, really jealous, doesn't want to hang out with them, just acts like, you know, they basically don't deserve it. And the truth about it is, guys, we all have opportunities. We all have options to do things. We all have positions that we've been put in, and doing the best of them and being as efficient as possible and working as hard as you can in those areas is the way to achieve what you want to achieve, and having goals and being positive and speaking positive things too. And that's another thing, guys. I get on to people like this all the time when I run into them. If I walk up to you and I haven't seen you, I say, hey, how are you doing? Oh, well, it's not too bad. I'm alive today. What does that mean? It's not too bad. You're alive? No, absolutely not. That's not a confession you want to speak every day. You want to say, I'm blessed beyond belief. I'm unbelievably successful. My business and my family are blessed. I have a great relationship with God. Now, you don't have to say something that extent every single time you meet somebody, but when people start to talk to you, you have to speak positive things to other people, to yourself, to your wife, to your family, even to God. You have to speak those things that aren't as though they are. You can't constantly talk negative, be negative, think negative, act negative, and expect your life to be positive. It doesn't work that way, guys. I've had so many people argue with me as far as, well, I've done this and I've done that, and I'm not blessed. And then every time you walk around, they always, well, I'm broke. I can't do that. Well, I don't have any money right now. I got to pay rent. I'm broke again. Well, golly, you keep telling me you're broke every time I'm around you. I'm pretty much starting to believe that it's true. Maybe you are broke. I'm not trying to be, you know, disrespectful right now on the show, guys, because, I mean, I've got a lot of friends, and I always try to do the best I can to help people that are in need. But when people act like that and they constantly confess negative things on a regular basis, you cannot expect to get anything else than what you're confessing on a regular basis. And if those things are negative, well, guys, guess what? It's going to be negative. So that's just a side note I kind of want to put on there, because I hear that so much, and I try to explain that to people. And, man, some people, it goes right over their head. They don't understand a lick of what you're talking about. And it's like, okay, you know, I'm trying to explain it to you. I'm trying to help you. But if you don't want to listen, then, well, that's on you. And other news now. This is interesting.
No, hang on, Austin. I got to add one thing to that.
Oh, yeah. Add anything on that. I'm sorry, I was going to go on.
No, that's okay. You did the other story. I got to say one more thing. So now you got me really rattled on that thing, too. You're absolutely right, okay? Now, I'm trying not to jump up and run around in the room, start yelling again like I do, holding my iPad, flipping around, flailing in the room. I'm trying not to do that, okay? But here's the thing, and I'm going to tell you this again. I've told you this 1,000 times. I'm going to tell it to you again. When you speak words into existence, you create scalar waves, the same as prayer, and you change the fabric of space-time by the words that you speak. So if your whole life is negative because you're speaking nothing but negative, you're going to get a negative existence on this planet. It's going to be awful for you. I mean, you're going to run around with an umbrella because you've got this little cloud dumping on you all day long because you've spoken that cloud into existence. Guys, you say, well, it doesn't really work that way. It really does work that way. You can't have a positive life with a negative attitude and negative confessions. It simply can't do that. Oil and water don't mix. You don't have prosperity and cursing at the same time. It doesn't work. The Bible says the curse causeless shall not come, or an undeserved curse will not come to rest. That's what it means. It means to say is that you can't allow yourself. The power of life and death is in the tongue. You've got to watch it. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. It doesn't matter if we have a hurricane coming on here tomorrow. Who cares? My God is bigger than a hurricane. I don't care about all that. I mean, who cares? God's God. You know, we just got to pray and believe God. That's all we can do. And we have to understand that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. That's it. We're an energy field is what we are. We're a soul. We're energy. We're what we are. We're pure energy. Our soul, it doesn't have a physical body. We're a spiritual being experiencing a physical resistance in a skin suit. That's what we are. When we die, we don't die. Our energy signature, our soul, goes to be with God. Our essence, our life, goes with Him. It doesn't stop. It can't stop. Energy can either be created or destroyed. Einstein proved that. And we're an energy field. So it's just, we're part of this universe, part of God, part of heaven with God if we serve Him and we obey His commandments. And then it goes negative for us if we don't. But guys, listen to me. Talking negative and being negative and not accepting Jesus Christ and being rah, rah, rah all the time, guys, it just doesn't help. Nobody's glorified. God's not glorified by somebody with a really, really negative attitude. Here's another interesting article. Columbia University to hold a no white student retreat. There's only one rule for Columbia University students who want to attend an upcoming leadership retreat. You can't be white. Oh, I don't know what to say about this. That's crazy. Okay, Austin, I got to take your mom to a chiropractor. I got to take off. So we're done in about 3 or 4 minutes. Guys, I love you guys. Thanks for listening. I hope the show was edifying and uplifting to you today. I feel like I've been doing a motivational seminar. Let your friends listen to this show. Sign up for my emails. We send out these hot links every single day. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us and your other supplements from us and your distillers from us. Thank you. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for being here. Thank you for just being part of our team. We love you guys. Austin, thanks. Go ahead and close.
Yeah, you guys be safe, Dad. also, too, guys, this other article I was talking about, this is interesting now. From coast to coast now, schools are teaching kids essentially how to deal with police. According to the Chicago Tribune now, students enrolled in driver's education courses will now be required to take a portion of it to learn how to respond when they are pulled over by police. Nine states now are indoctrinating school kids on how the government expects them to deal with police, including Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Alabama, Illinois, Texas, Washington State, and California. And essentially what they do to them now is they teach them how to be subservient and submissive as soon as you get pulled over. Basically, you roll all of your windows down, you put your hands on the steering wheel, or you put your hands out the window. It's yes, sir, no, sir. You do exactly as you're told. If they tell you to get out and lay on the ground, you do it immediately. And I'm not saying you shouldn't act like that if a situation escalates with law enforcement, but what they're doing now, as remember, guys, the old mantra with law enforcement was to protect and serve. That was the original aspect of law enforcement that it used to be. That was their motto. It was to protect and serve the population. Now it is to harass and intimidate. And I'm not saying all law enforcement officers engage in that behavior, but the police departments in general now are even encouraging that type of behavior. And they're trying to indoctrinate the children in the school systems now to be okay and acceptable of this type of tyranny in police state. The Project Safe Campus program also, that came up in a couple northern states, which is an anonymous cash rewards program that pays students $100 to spy on fellow classmates. The goal of the PSC is to increase the number of anonymous tips coming from the schools. Students who give tips that result in disciplinary action can earn $100 cash rewards. So what they're doing now is they're incorporating the Homeland Security mantra, see something, say something, now giving financial benefits to children to go snitch on their friends, indoctrinating school kids on how to deal with cops now is becoming massively widespread. The Department of Justice even created its own program now called Successful Tips for Youth on Law Enforcement Encounters, known as STYLE. And they have these different events that they have all over the place in different areas, and basically teaching kids how to act in a law enforcement encounter, which to me is kind of troubling to me. Not that they're teaching kids how to respond correctly, but the fact that they're indoctrinating them on how to be submissive and basically get on their knees and kiss the state and the government boots. That I don't like. But guys, interesting show today. Lots of different articles. Hope you enjoyed it. You guys have a safe rest of your day. We're going to buckle down here in the next couple days in Florida and get ready for this hurricane on the East Coast. You guys have a blessed night. If you have any questions, email us, call us. The product of the week that won today, guys, is the adrenal support. Really good for energy, really good for fatigue and adrenal exhaustion. Great product. Check it out. It's over 10% off. We'll be back on again with you guys tomorrow, as long as the weather is phenomenal and we don't have any power outages. If not, we should be able to get the generators running and still be on the show. You guys have a blessed night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.